Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It was the pass rush, really the story of the entire day. They forced the intentional grounding, and that pretty much all but did it.
Well, the defense had five takeaways last week to get them the win in New England. They have seven sacks today to lead the way in this one. Pittsburgh improves to 3-1.
And I'm just thankful to get the victory. I appreciate the fight of the guys. Certainly you want to finish that game off cleaner, man, so we got some get better ahead of us, but it's good to do that with a W. You know, we talked a lot about the late, great Ambassador Rooney last night. I know he's smiling at us today, man. It's just an honor, man, to fulfill his vision, to bring NFL football to Dublin, man, and been thinking about him a lot on a personal level, and so I'd be remiss if I didn't say that.
Well, I don't know how much he talked about it over the last 4 hours filling in for Joe, but Donnie didn't nail this one. He predicted that they would win one for the late, great Dan Rooney, that they would dedicate this game, the Steelers, they would treat it like a Super Bowl. They'd play inspired ball. And for 55 minutes, they did exactly that. And then you had Mike Tomlin say there to start his press conference from over in Dublin, "We want to finish the game cleaner." 412-928-9370, your turn to react to the Steelers starting 3-1 and beating a Vikings team that we labeled on this show as a legitimate team, very well coached with Brian Flores, the defensive genius, and Kevin O'Connell, the offensive guru. And the Steelers beat them 24-21, and at one point they were up two scores looking to make it three late in this game.
They were up three scores.
They were up three scores, and it could have been more, and that's where it got a little... What's the word I want to go with here? Sketchy?
Stupid.
Let's say?
It got stupid? Real stupid real fast.
Well, and so that's kind of where I want to start here. I will speak for myself, for starters, like I should, and then everybody else will put in their two cents. In this game, I put more stock in the first 55 minutes than I do the last five. I thought the first 55 minutes were the best the Steelers have played all year. They were way better in the trenches in this game. It was the first game all year where I felt like their offensive line was better than the opposition's defensive line and vice versa. Both clicked. I thought they had an awesome, with a capital A, offensive game plan. It was the best offensive game plan I think Arthur Smith has had in his year plus as offensive coordinator, because it took away all the bells and whistles of the Flores defense. Their strategy was, we're just going to put in all our big people and run the ball until you stop it. That's how you get Washington playing way more than any other tight end. That's how you get Spencer Anderson getting more snaps than Pat Freiermuth in this game. That's how you get Ben Skowronek as the Steelers' number three wide receiver. And that's, in the end, how you get 4.5 yards per carry, two rushing touchdowns, and 131 yards with, by the way, Jaylen Warren out for this game. So I think there's more good in that respect than what we saw from Tomlin and the decision-making in the last few minutes of the game, which obviously a lot of people are not thrilled with. And based on what I saw on social media, a lot of people were pissed off about after this game.
I
am going to say this. I am not as gung-ho about the first 55 mattered more than the last five because there's an element of Mike Tomlin can't keep getting away with this. That is my takeaway. But even the people in the national media who have started to come around to the fact that this guy is just a terrible in-game decision maker when it comes to what the percentages dictate and then what does he do, they all sort of say the same thing. Well, Mike certainly hasn't lost his touch for the voodoo that allows the Steelers, when it appears like they should lose a football game, to be in position to run away with it and still end up holding on to it. Like, those people don't even understand how to quantify what Mike is able to do to, like, get them to a point where they're up 24-6. Here is what I will say about their first 55 minutes. Give them a ton of credit for, as you put it, neutralizing and game planning for the Vikings defense by just saying, we're going to punch you in the face repeatedly and see if you can stop it. I think that's the best way to attack a team that wants to get exotic is to say, no, we're actually going to play. We're not even playing chess. We're playing Connect Four. I think I made that joke derisively on Friday. It more or less worked for them offensively. Their defense appears to be back in splash play fashion and in like getting negative plays in the form of sacks. You know what I'm going to give them the most credit for, though? I hate this when it, I feel like it happens to every team. And next man up is supposed to be the NFL's ultimate mantra. But when a team feels wounded to me, sometimes the Steelers just let them hang around. We've seen them lose games to teams that are undermanned or against backup quarterbacks, and you're scratching your head.
Yeah.
Donovan Jackson, the big left guard there that is really good for them, the rookie, he's out. He played last week, and then he couldn't play this week because of surgery. It was one of those like situations where he wasn't going to make the injury worse, but he had to get it fixed. Ryan Kelly goes out with a concussion. Brian O'Neill, who might be overall their best lineman, the Pitt product, really good right tackle, he's out. Keanu Benton starting to eat when their interior offensive line got busted up. Like, that's what a good defense should do, is start teeing off when you're going against guys who aren't their best.
Mm-hmm.
Make them look horrible.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. So I have to give them, like, very base level credit or very basic credit for when they had the overwhelming advantage in talent, it showed for almost the entire game,
yep.
Especially when Minnesota got hurt. So... And I thought, honestly, I thought their defensive game plan was pretty good as well until the end when it just went completely to crap and all their corners were hurt and everything else and there were miscommunications. I actually thought they looked like a much more cohesive group for the majority of this game. And Carson Wentz has some skills that I think keep Mike Tomlin up at night, or had some skills. I thought they mostly made him look maybe not uncomfortable because the numbers were really good to start the game. But I didn't feel like Carson Wentz at any point was going to take over that game. That's kind of a needle I'm threading there. You might disagree. I never felt like I did when Brady or Rodgers or any other really good quarterback would start carving them up and you felt like there was no way to stop it.
So
I felt like they had the upper hand on Carson Wentz.
So ultimately, do you feel like Tomlin had a good day or a bad day? Hello?
Bad day.
Bad day.
Bad day because I'm so pissed off because he constantly does this crap. And then he says, we made it harder than it should have been on ourselves. There's stuff to clean up. You have the stuff to clean up. You. It's you. Look in the mirror. You run the defense. You're the guy who had Chuck Clark out there not knowing who he was supposed to cover. You're the guy who had to be talked into going for it on fourth and goal in an obvious go for it situation by your quarterback.
Yeah.
You are the guy who presumably then said, we're running the ball for reasons that aren't clear to me. You are also the guy who then didn't go for it on fourth and half a yard when your team's success rate on running the ball, i.e. getting 4 yards or more,
right,
was 60% for the game, which is an astronomically good figure. You are the guy who did all that stuff.
Okay.
It makes me so mad when he tries. It's like, it's the meme. There's going to be people out there who know what I'm talking about, and Pony won't. I think you should leave. Guy in the hot dog suit. We're all looking for the guy who did this. When Mike says something like, we've got a lot to clean up at the end, it shouldn't have been in this close, he might as well be wearing a hot dog suit because he's the guy who did it.
Okay, but
I can't be anything but honest. I came away from that game pissed off, and so did most of the people texting me and talking to me about it.
You came away from the game pissed off?
Yes, I said it last week.
3-1.
After the New England game, I said it's what he and they specialize in. It is another feel-bad win. They were way better for the first 55 minutes against this team.
There's no way this is a
feel-bad
win. They
were way better against a better opponent, in my opinion, this week. But I watch him just criminally mismanage the key moments in games when there shouldn't even be key moments because of his own mismanagement, and I get mad about it.
But I am going to quibble with one part of your anger and disappointment and frustration in Tomlin. his decision at the end of the game worked.
Barely.
Okay, but it worked. It was the right decision. I, in the moment, did not think it was.
Wait a minute. You're not a guy who goes results over process. The process was bad.
No, the process isn't bad, though, because it worked.
But if all we did on this show was they won, nothing to talk about, then that would, like, you're being disingenuous to say that the process doesn't matter here. Of course it matters.
Hold on, though.
Especially for a notoriously bad in-game coach.
Hold on, though. If he goes for it, they stuff Gainwell, and the Vikings come down, kick a field goal, force overtime, and win the game. You'd feel better about Mike Tomlin today?
I would think that he made the right play based on
the
percentages.
But they would have lost!
So what? He would have lost doing it the right way.
So you'd rather lose doing it the right way
on
than
some
win
level,
doing
yes.
it the right way?
I would love,
what has happened to your brain?
On some level, I would like to know that he has started to make decisions that make mathematical and probability-based sense. Yes. The guy coaches with his gut, and it's the only reason that this game wasn't 31-14 instead of that it was 24-21.
But coaching with his gut or brain or whatever got them out to such a big lead in the first place because he did not just say, let's line up and play
Doesn't
football against the
Vikings. Doesn't that make
it
doubly annoying that his own coaching malfeasance brought the Vikings back into the game? He runs the defense, so you can put coverage on him.
Yes, I do. But also,
why go for it on fourth and goal? Riddle me this. Your quarterback talks you into it, and because you are deferential to a future Hall of Famer, you say, fine.
Yeah.
Why the hell do you run the ball from the 3.5-yard line?
I have no issue with them running the ball there. I just didn't like how long it took for them to make up their
minds.
Wait,
why do you have no issue with
because
them running
the ball?
Because
they had their best run game of the year. Because every time Kenneth Gainwell touched it on that drive,
it pretty much went for big games. If you needed a touchdown to win a game, okay, and that was the Super Bowl, and they were at the 3.5, fourth and goal, you'd have been okay with them running the ball to Kenneth
Gainwell.
That's
a totally different situation. You said
really because you're trying to win a game in the same way in this situation, even though you have the lead, you're trying to put a kill shot touchdown on them.
Actually, okay, so you're saying there's one play left. I'm fine with it being a run play because that's what they'd been best at in that game. Running the ball.
You have Aaron Rodgers who's a killer in the red zone.
So who do you want Aaron Rodgers to throw to in that situation? Pat Freiermuth, who doesn't even know when to block on an extra point? Where do you want the ball to go there?
Darnell Washington, 8-foot-tall tight end, maybe?
Okay.
Who they all say they love throwing. How about just DK Metcalf, who physically is better than whoever's covering him?
Guess what? I would have been fine with either one of those two things.
I would have rather thrown the ball to Ben Skoranek than run the ball. Gainwell was great. They ran
the ball great down there the entire game. It's what I didn't like was on, off. What are we doing? Things were rushed. Two situations were rushed. That was rushed, and then the delay of gameplay was rushed. Know what you're going to do. That's my gripe with Tomlin, but to come out of this game saying he had a bad day, they're up 18 points on a Vikings team that you and I anointed their defensive coordinator and head coach as coaching geniuses. And now we're not going to give the guy credit when for 55 minutes he coached circles around him?
Let me ask you another question.
He did. I hate to say it because I was wrong.
He did coach circles around him for 55
minutes.
Let me ask you something. Let's say you and Amanda go to a very nice restaurant for your anniversary. Appetizer, great. Pre-dinner drink, great. Salad, you've never eaten a Caesar salad like that in your life.
Yeah.
Entree, terrific.
Yep.
Dessert, atrocious and gives you like a bad stomach virus and you realize it's the dessert. How are you going to feel about that meal coming out of it?
I would feel bad about it, but that's not
how I feel.
It's not analogous because they won the game.
He served me rancid ice cream, and I had diarrhea all night. That was the metaphor for this game. I know they won, and I still feel like it's going to come back to bite them.
The punt worked. It's interesting that in one hand you say the defense is back, but asking the defense to win the game was a bad idea. Which one is it? Defense back, Chris Mueller back in love with the defense, but relying on the defense against a quarterback you literally just said never really scared you in the game, and you're claiming that that decision was an idiotic one.
I would much rather try to get 18 inches of real estate on the field than not have the ball in my hands
trying to
close out a game.
That was my first guess, bad decision, but it worked.
So he was right, and you're giving him no credit. Credit for coaching 52 to 55 minutes of excellent football out-coaching Brian Flores, out-coaching Kevin O'Connell. I want to bang my head off the wall, which judging by the YouTube chat, many of them would be happy to see me do until I were unconscious, because the last 5 to 7 minutes of this game, the first 53 minutes or so, 55 minutes, revealed the best of Mike Tomlin. Why people nationally love him and why people locally don't understand why people nationally love him. The last 5 minutes revealed the absolute worst of him as a coach. And unfortunately for him, even though they won, that is the taste left in my mouth.
412-928-9370. Chris Muller calling it a bad day at the office for Mike Tomlin in a win over the Vikings where he coached circles around Brian Flores and Kevin O'Connell.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wentz stepping up over the middle. It's broken up. Deshaun Elliott knocks it away and seals the deal for the Steelers.
But it still made Malzi feel like they lost because, as he put it, Mike Tomlin malfeasance with decision-making in the last 5 minutes of the game, which for Malzi undid all of the great stuff Mike Tomlin and the Steelers did for the first 55 minutes of that game. Is that how you feel? At 412-928-9370. That is the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Let's start with Anthony. He's on the fan. Hello, Anthony.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I don't understand why everybody was looking at going forward on fourth down as being up two scores or going up three scores. The difference is they need two touchdowns or a touchdown and a field goal. Am I right?
Yeah. So what do you want to say here?
So in other words, if he kicks the field goal, you're up 13. That means they haven't scored two touchdowns. People kick field like 50 yard field goals like nothing now. So I don't understand why he just didn't go up 13.
Because you could put him away and score a touchdown there and go up 17, and then it's a three possession game and they got no shot.
Yeah, I understand, but they give up the middle of the field all the time. It's easy to go down and get 30, 40 yards and kick a field goal.
All right, it shouldn't be that easy to get 81 yards, but the Vikings did it because of a busted coverage.
Okay, so your point is you disagreed with Tomlin going for it, and now you're pissed at him, and you do agree with Chris that he did a crappy job yesterday?
No. I take the win. I was happy all the whole time, although I looked at my daughter and I said, this guy has to ruin everything for me. I enjoyed it. It was a nice early morning over here.
That doesn't sound like everything was hunky-dory. If you looked at her and said, this guy has to ruin everything for me, they still won the game.
But I woke up. I woke up and I feel better today. But at the moment, he ruined the whole
look, man, enjoyment. Thanks for the call. I know they got up big and you had to sweat it out. But if I had said to every Steeler fan, they're going to beat the Vikings by 3 points, nobody would have cared how they did it. Not one person would have cared.
We did the same
thing. If it was 3-0, 6-3, 9-6.
We might as well just be doing Sports Talk Mad Libs from last Monday. You literally said the phrase, if I told you they were going to go on the road and beat a New England team by 7,
yeah,
you would have said, I'll take it.
Yes.
Except the way you get there matters. And when you're up 24-6.
To you, it does a lot more than me, apparently.
And administering an ass-whooping to a team you and I both thought was going to beat them. Yes, it does matter to me. It does. I think that I am in the majority here, and I think we're going to find that bearing out by the end of the show.
All right, let's see if Justin in South Park agrees with you that Tomlin did a bad job. Hello, Justin.
Malzi, I got to tell you, I could never. I agree with you so definitively, and I think Pony just likes to argue because
we both do. That's why we have this job. To be fair,
well, Understood. I just mean, generally speaking, you just like to be argumentative, because you can't look at the decision-making that Tomlin made in the last 5 minutes of that game and think that they weren't lucky to get out of there with a win, because they were. The last caller had it right about going for a field goal instead of a touchdown. And if you're going to go for it on fourth and goal, you throw the ball, not try and run it from the 3.5.
Why? They ran the ball great the entire game. That's how they scored 2 touchdowns with Gainwell down there.
Well, I think because it's a higher percentage play getting into the end zone on a bootleg or a play action or just
a bootleg,
like he
with
said,
Rodgers. You trust his
Washington
legs to run the ball in?
No.
Okay.
No, definitely not. And I don't mean a bootleg where Rodgers is running the ball in. I mean play action. I'm sorry, I misspoke. But also, then you get down to the end of the game there where you need half a yard. You've got this great running game that you're comfortable defending, running the ball from 3.5 yards out
right.
on fourth and goal,
yes.
But you're not comfortable making a call to
no,
go
I
for it.
No, I said I wanted them to go for it, but I was wrong because what they did worked.
Here's the only problem I have with the decision. If they choose to take the delay of game, fine. Why do you then kick the ball 20 yards out of the end zone?
Yeah, I don't know why we didn't get any. We should have gotten clarification on that after the game. If all they wanted to do was pick up 19 yards, that doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense to me. Again, it worked. I'm just like,
did anybody go on the record and say they told Waitman?
No, there was no conversation about that after the game whatsoever.
Then I'm pretty sure that it was just a horrible punt by Waitman.
We don't know that.
Hey, Corliss, kick it out of the end zone.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense to do that.
I'm going to at least say that Mike Tomlin is not brain dead enough that he would have told his punter, gain me 19
Justin,
yards of net field
you're
position.
Saying I'm just arguing a position because I want to be argumentative. They literally went into a game where their best quarterback of the last 40 years said, the coaches for Minnesota are going to coach circles around this guy. That's why they're going to lose. And Brian Flores' defense didn't do anything like they were supposed to in this game. Rodgers didn't look confused. After the first play of the game where he got sacked, he barely got touched again. They ran the ball at will. Their defense forced 2 turnovers and had 6 sacks. How is it the slightest bit controversial to say that the coach had a good day? How?
I'm not saying he didn't. For 55 minutes, that's great. But it's true that the last 5 minutes can cost you the game,
but
and
it
is a much higher percentage.
But it didn't.
Okay, it didn't. But
what happens next time?
Eventually, the percentages are there for a reason, because eventually they catch up with you.
Okay, they beat a good team on a neutral site and dominated the game for 9/10 of it.
And they won by 3, adding to Mike's vaunted 1-score win total.
I mean, we can absolutely quibble with some of these things, and I disagreed with them punting at the end of the game. But I'm not going to go to the extreme lengths to say he had a bad day, which is exactly what you said, Chris.
I'll stick to it. His process was great for 55 minutes, and he attempted to undo it all with essentially coaching cowardice in the last 5. I don't care that it worked.
Well,
it was
hold
the
on
wrong
a second,
decision.
Though. Going for it on fourth down there and running on fourth and goal at the 3 is not coaching cowardice. That's not coaching cowardice. That's aggressive coaching.
Aggressive coaching would have been putting the ball in the air. I guarantee you Mike Tomlin thought to himself, if I put the ball in the air, there's a chance it gets tipped or intercepted, and then we're going the other way maybe for a touchdown. I think the handoff there is the safe, risk-averse play. And then that's
been a successful play the whole game.
Right, which is why when he didn't go for it on 4th and 1, no, not even 1, that's being charitable, 4th and 0.5 yards with that successful running game, or just with the quarterback sneak using your humongous tight end who's basically another offensive lineman. Which worked earlier in the game. I'm not going to give him credit that it ended up coming out in the wash okay. He could have iced the game right there.
Brian's on the fan. Hello, Brian. Brian? Brian agrees with me. Doesn't know what
else to
say.
No. You're not counting that as an agreement. No,
why?
No. Don't put that in the column. That's no way. No
what do you mean
way.
No way.
He didn't
I left
say
him speechless.
Anything. Yeah, he was so nervous about talking to me, realizing that he was going to be out argued that he didn't have anything
Our number
to say.
2 fan, Jeff in South Park. Hello, Jeff.
Hey guys. So, you know, I get it. I get watching the end of that game, and as the majority of fans would probably come away from that in the moment thinking, man, Tomlin is a huge liability in those spots. I got to give him credit overall because, like, I alluded to it last week, you know, saying that a lot of his coaching schemes come down to you know, just be better than the guy you're going up against. And in instances like that, it's almost like he's about as useful as a bowling coach in those situations. I mean, because what good can a bowling coach tell you? He'll go to the bowler, hey, Johnny, I want you to knock down all those pins. Are you sure, coach? Trust me. So, like, the fact that they had great schemes going. And the other thing is, too, I'll say, I actually, when you watch around the league, a lot of coaches actually do really struggle with in-game decisions. Like when
Sean McVay has historically struggled with them. A lot of really good coaches do struggle. The problem is, in this NFL, Jeff, most of those guys who admittedly are Kyle Shanahan, I think, has been bad at it at times for a while. Both of those guys offer something in a very offensive, heavy, and quarterback-dominated league that Mike doesn't. They know how to coach offense and coach quarterbacks.
But he did in this game. I have to give him credit for that. What he, the decision they made offensively to go big and play bully
how
ball
often,
and bring in
okay,
the personnel.
How often are we giving Mike credit for helping put together a really good offensive game
Not
plan?
Often. That's why when it happens once in a blue moon and they win against a good team, I'm actually going to give him credit for it.
You know what? I better stop and give him credit. I wouldn't want him to feel bad like I never.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're talking Steelers 24, Vikings 21 in Dublin. Steelers 3-1 alone atop the AFC North today. By the way, Nnamdi Matabike officially out for the season per John Harbaugh moments ago. Ravens also lost Roquan Smith in that beat down to the Chiefs. And Lamar Jackson missed the fourth quarter with a hamstring injury. In came Cooper Rush, who threw the ball out of bounds on purpose on 4th-and-2. 1-3 for the Ravens now. 1-3 for the Browns. 2-1 for the Bengals. They play tonight. Is that the game we have on the fan? Please tell me we're not airing Jets and Dolphins.
I believe it's the Bengals and Broncos.
Thank God.
That would be a question for KR.
Content Craig. All right. Time for PM Team Plays of the Game. You can listen to the PM Team on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We will go in chronological order and start with mine.
But he comes here in his 21st season, first one with the Steelers. And coming off a 6-for-6 drive. He'll throw to begin this drive, and it's DK Metcalf. He's in the loose. There goes DK. A block from Austin. Inside the 5. Into the end zone. 80-yard touchdown. Rodgers to Metcalf.
Larry Richard in the background there over in Dublin.
Did you guys know he was going to be the PA guy?
I didn't.
I did. Because Jeff did Pitt on Saturday, and that's when I found out Larry was going to be over there.
They had those fans well-trained to do Pittsburgh Steelers. I know there are a lot of Steelers fans who probably flew over and knew, but First Down was getting loud. What was the other one? They sang, what's the Blink-182 song they were singing?
They were doing... Zombie.
Well, I know Zombie by the Cranberries was like there was big sing-along.
I know, but there was a big, there's a Blink-182, Carry Me Home.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, they did that.
Oh, all the small things or whatever. Yeah. Man, those fans were into it. They loved to sing.
But you heard Larry
Europe
come out and say, and now for the Irish National Anthem, please. National Anthem, please stand quietly for Isabella, whatever the woman's name was. And she came decked out in her white and green dress. And that was a banger of an anthem. Did you hear it at Shiloh?
Yes. Yeah.
Have you heard the Irish anthem before?
I hadn't
before?
Heard it before.
It's not in English. It's in Gaelic.
It's in Gaelic, right. Because they had the Gaelic jerseys on for all the Steelers players for the practice thing. How about the dude, though, who did the national anthem, the U.S. anthem? Louisiana native who's just been randomly living in Ireland for 30 years. I didn't have that on my bingo card.
Metcalf had his best game. It's the longest touchdown in international history. It's the longest touchdown
of the Steelers season. 5 for 126 in this game. Almost all of it on that play and most of it in the first half. He was everything you traded for and paid him for on that play. Get it to him quickly and let the man eat. Let him run. And for a man his size, he's got some afterburners. He's got some jets. And he's so big and strong, he is very difficult to take down in open space. Gave the Steelers a 14-3 lead. Had Minnesota at arm's length. Forced Minnesota to become more of a passing offense in the game with their banged up offensive line that couldn't pass protect. So just a gigantic play there for an offense that cannot really protect long enough to let Aaron Rodgers throw the ball downfield. This is the next best thing. Get it to Metcalf short and hope he runs long.
So I thought there were a couple things that that play embodied. They had that play, that ball couldn't have been out in more than 2 seconds, maybe 2.2, you know, something like that. They found ways to get him the ball early, though. The quick hitter for 14 yards, where it was almost just like you take 3 steps and the ball's going to be there and you're going to be on the move. That's where Rodgers being so accurate is underrated.
I like that back shoulder throw they made to
him. The back shoulder one was good. Him, by the way, in the open field running while other guys are running. You know the old bit like Terrell Pryor used to be where you'd see a kid chasing him, but he was going full speed and you could see the disparity? There's defensive backs chasing him, and they are just losing ground rapidly.
And I like that he got rid of the pacifier mouthpiece and went with an adult mouthpiece for this year with the Steelers.
You know, Pickens, obviously, who had a huge game last night, when he would run away from people, it was impressive, but not as impressive as a guy, as Pony said, that big, just like, and he's also, like, chugging. Did you notice, like, he runs like Mr. Larson from Happy Gilmore. He's pumping the arms.
I mean, he's going to do some damage if you try to get in his way.
Also, he's
good,
not a
good block by Austin downfield. It was good, like team play, like really good block to make sure that turned into a
touchdown.
He's
also not a dumbass, and he makes sure that when he gets after it after the whistle, it's the other guy that gets flagged and not him.
So he throws the first blow after the whistle, I believe, is what you're saying.
Yes, which is something that obviously Georgie boy
had some issues Georgie with. Got caught with his hand in the cookie jar so many times.
Here
that
is
way.
Donnie's PM team play of the game from Steelers, Vikings, in Dublin.
Offensive line without the left guard, Jackson, without the center, Kelly, without the right tackle, O'Neal. Another big play right there.
Man, you hear Larry again there with the TJ Watt. He was
the
really
acoustics
getting...
in Croke Park are just phenomenal, apparently.
A lot better than Acrisure Stadium, apparently. this was a point where the Steelers were yet again able to keep them at arm's length. It was 14-6 when this play happened. And I think more importantly, not necessarily for the game itself, but the defense is definitely heating up a little bit, and so is TJ Watt. And I know that usually goes hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Another disruptive game yesterday. That whole unit again, what, 11 sacks now in the last
two games.
Harmon's
really making it, like, we all laughed and said, like,
he
how
got
much
his
difference
mid on that ball when Elliott had the pick.
How much difference can one guy make, even a first-round pick? I think we're finding out he can make a lot of difference.
I agree.
Speaking of Elliott, I know that we'll have the game balls. I already gave those out, but we'll do those again.
Give three completely new ones. You should have given three dummy balls.
I could, because there were so many also receiving votes. Elliott just does a little bit of everything.
Yeah, they snuck him out there in coverage, and he didn't look out of place. He was on Addison on a play that went through Addison's hands. Yeah,
I should get his jersey.
He's only going to be here one more year, though.
Well, I was going to say, because he's like the Steelers version of me. He's just doing a little bit of everything.
Oh,
and,
I get it.
I mean,
that went over my head initially.
But, I mean, even Elliott, like a big return to the
defense. So, wait a minute. If he's the Steelers version of you and Content Craig utilizes you for everything, does that mean he would be Topic Tomlin using Deshaun Elliott for everything?
All right, so let's get to Malzi's PM team play of the game.
If you get into second or third and long, a field goal doesn't kill you.
First and 10. It's blown coverage, and it's Addison. He's down the sideline. He will take it inside the 5. Peyton Wilson saves a touchdown.
All right, there are hustle plays, and then there are real hustle plays. Fake hustle plays, you guys know what it looks like, right? I'm chugging down the line in a baseball game. I'm still going to be out by 2 steps, but look at how hard I ran. Look at me, coach. Look at me, broadcaster. Let's show an instant replay of me hustling, because I hustle.
That may or may not have happened this year on a Pirates
May or may not have. And then there is a hustle play that actually matters. And that's 4-4 speed. Peyton Wilson taking advantage of two things. Wentz couldn't get all of the throw, so Addison had to – he was facing back towards the wrong end zone when he caught it. And then he had a very slight stumble that maybe slowed him up like a hair. Peyton Wilson was in a full charge. He's probably as fast in a straight line sprint as Addison is, if not faster. He got up to 22.4 miles an hour running him down there, max speed. That is the fastest speed a linebacker has ever run since they started tracking player data like that. So that's almost 10 years. The fastest any backer has ever run. Here's why that play matters, too. It takes a full minute off the clock for them to score because of some subsequent good plays by the Steelers defense to force it to a fourth in the game play, like to keep them in it. And if it were Brady eventually punching it in there, I'd have been nervous because it's like Tom Brady in his prime. He doesn't need that much time to go down the field.
Yep.
It was Carson Wentz, and he needed every second on that clock if he was going to get the ball back like he did. That minute burning off there was huge.
Play it out. I think that the Vikings, instead of going for an onside kick, kick it deep.
I would agree
if he doesn't get stopped.
I would agree.
And now
with
if the Steelers don't pick up first downs, instead of Minnesota getting the ball at their own 20,
they
might be
getting
the ball
further up.
Yeah. 35.
I thought that was that
a good return, maybe closer to midfield.
To me, that's an example of an actual, honest to God, real hustle play that had real implications.
How do you think Wilson's speed stacked up with Shazier at his best?
I think he's faster.
I mean, because they haven't had speed at that position. Now, I mean, Shazier turned into a hell of a player who got cut short early.
But I don't know how. I'm sure I could find this somewhere. I don't know
what did Devin Bush run at the 40? In the 40.
He's probably 4.5.
So he was small and slow. Oh,
no, I think he might have been high 4.4s. I would love to know who ran faster, because I think it's closer and maybe the answer you don't think. I think Wilson was probably running faster without the ball, admittedly, than Metcalf was on his touchdown. If I got those tracked, I bet you Wilson ran slightly faster.
Oh, maybe you can. You've got a lot of data at your disposal.
Oh, I'm big data baseball right here.
Our PM team, plays of the game. All right. Chris Mueller came out at the start of the show and said that Mike Tomlin had a bad game against the Vikings. We've been taking your calls on it all day. Here is Mike in Washington with some thoughts on that. Hello, Mike.
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air,
Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Anytime.
Mr. Filippone, I agree with you 1,000,000% today. I usually don't, but today, the opening statement, my brother, you was right on with everything you said. Now, your co-guy there, Mr. Chris,
yeah,
my man, bad. Everything he's saying today is terrible. He took a loss from 2 o'clock to 6, whatever you talk about, he has an L. Mr. Pony, you're the champ today on everything you said.
Thank you, Mike.
Are you going to cut that entire phone call? Jack, 2:45, 2:46 p.m., let's just make sure all 33 seconds of Mike in Washington there gets cut. That'll be useful to somebody, I'm sure, in the future.
Dave is next. Hello, Dave.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hey, Dave.
I got a question. Didn't Mike Tomlin call a timeout before that onside kick?
He
looking back at it.
Might have?
I believe he did.
Which goes with Chris's opinion on
yeah,
Tomlin.
Yeah, he called a timeout after the extra point, which would have been before the onside
kick.
He did his second timeout there.
Yeah.
What was the purpose of that?
He might have thought they were going to kick it deep, and he wanted to make sure those guys were ready for the onside kick.
I mean, shouldn't they have been ready for that to begin with?
Dave, the only thing I'm going to say,
Dave,
I know this is me being pretty negative towards Mike today after a win. The only thing I'll say there is, at that point, if you're the Steelers, you shouldn't be the team concerned with, do we have all of our timeouts left at the end of the game? If you think that there's something potentially sketchy about to happen, you call the timeout there because you expect to get the ball back and then run the clock
out. And again, it worked. They recovered the onside kick with no problem.
Well, I don't think the process there is flawed. I don't mind using a timeout with the lead there when one first down should win you the game.
Dave, they beat a good team.
They actually recovered the kick before he called the timeout because they kicked it twice. So they must have been ready for it.
Okay. So this speaks to what? Gross incompetence by a guy who won the game and had a brilliant offensive philosophy for this game?
Gross incompetence all the time. I mean, he's been in the league for how many years? 19 years, and he's still making the same mistakes over and over. But don't get me wrong. I loved the game yesterday. I was thrilled at the way they played. I just
well,
agree
wait a minute,
with...
though. Time out, though. If it's gross incompetence all the time and it's never going to change, why would you feel good about the game? What difference does it make in the grand scheme of things? If it's
because
always gross
defense,
incompetence...
The defense looked like they were supposed to.
Well, then it's not gross incompetence because that's his defense.
I'm talking about the in-game stuff like Chris was saying. I mean, you know, Tony, you know that for years.
Okay,
he's been making the same mistakes
over and over. All
right,
but it can't be a bad job by him because he's in charge of their defense on game day, and now you're saying how great it was.
Well, look at the first couple weeks.
Okay, yes, and I criticized his defense the first couple of weeks. But that's the comeback to yesterday's game? I'm not talking about what happened against the Jets and what happened against the Patriots. I'm talking about yesterday.
Pony, you are the king. Everything you're saying today is right. Mulzey, you are wrong.
I mean, I'll be the first one when they lose a game and his game management decision sucked to rip him.
How much of this
didn't happen yesterday?
How much of your praise of him coming out of that game is based on the respect you had for the two coaches on the other side going in?
A ton. And it wasn't just me. It was universal. They were even saying it before the game.
So if he does that to, like, the Tennessee Titans, very different story.
Of course.
Okay. I want to make sure I have an accurate sense of why you're coming from
where
you're coming
from. All NFL games aren't created equal. You'd have to agree with that. I mean...
No, he was an underdog in a home game, even though it was played in Ireland with a... very sick Adam Crowley in attendance.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.